Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigo.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here at our kitchen table once a week to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions.
And the kitchen table is loaded this time of year. We are busy, busy, busy. It's Mrs. Santa's workshop at my house. Oh, my goodness.
I spent most of last week covered with flour. I love to bake. I don't know how these women on the TV shows and on the blogs and on the things on the YouTube, they're all so neat and tidy.
They have assistants.
They must.
I think so.
I get done making, I made a bunch of cookies, and I love making cookies, and I look around, and I do even remember to put on my apron, and I'm just like snowed in with flour. So,
well, and you know, I do the fudge thing. I did four flavors this year. Okay, I got to brag. My favorite flavor this year is I put truffle butter in with hazelnuts and a little frangelico, but not much. Mostly it's the truffles and the hazel.
Oh my.
You have outdone yourself.
Yeah, and I have chocolate smudges all over everything, right? It's on the refrigerator door. I don't know how it got up onto the kitchen cabinets.
I know.
Little brown, greasy things everywhere. So,
yeah, and as many times as I've been through these cookie recipes, and you'd think I could do them in my sleep. Donna, you can't do them in your sleep because you forget things.
I know.
And you'd feel so dumb. I made a chocolate glaze for some bars.
Chocolate glaze, standard stuff, right?
What can you do? Well, if you leave it on the stove too long, it gets a little hard and chunky there. So it's sort of lumpy. I have to admit,
when I'm making these fudge, I have to use a certain size of Pyrex pan, and I know to double my standard recipe. So here I am. I've done it all. It's in the refrigerator. I'm thinking when I pour it into the pan, it doesn't look quite right. I let it harden up. It's hard as a rock, and then I realized afterwards, okay, I did not double the cream.
Uh-huh.
So I had to remelt the whole thing.
It worked.
I saved it. That's the thing about being the professional chef. You know how to fix your mistakes.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
I mean, it's not always possible, but, you know. So I reconstituted the whole thing and added the cream and thought, how did I do that, right?
It's so easy, especially when, I'll double that recipe and, uh-huh.
Unless, do the math, right?
Unless you write it down. Oh, Lord. There's way too much science in this. I can't always, like, My husband says, yeah, she cooks from the hip. Yeah, I do, sort of.
Well, sort of, but yeah.
But you can't, baking, you sort of have to measure.
Well, and here's the thing. If somebody interrupts me when I'm measuring, like, 5 cups or something, I go, one, two, three. And then something happens, and you go, oh, dear, was I on 3 or was I on 4?
It's amazing.
Hazardous. It's very hazardous.
Oh, it's
amazing.
Yeah, anything works. But the cookies are kind of ready and stacked
up.
Ooh,
goody.
And they're good. And
how many varieties did you make this year?
Seven. here's another really stupid thing, Donna. This is stupid Christmas baking. Remember last week, so proud of myself, made a whole bunch of candied orange peels.
Oh, yes.
So good. And there they sat. And so I made some fruitcake that I usually make, and I was going to put the candied orange peels into the fruitcake, but I put everything else into the fruitcake, and I forgot the candied orange peels.
You can eat them, Lana.
that's what I'm doing.
I did a fudge with candied orange peel you know, other citrusy things. Pecans I finally put in those. So my son and daughter-in-law arrived from New York, and they brought me some yuzu. Yuzu is that, it's a Japanese citrus that is, looks like a lemon, but it tastes like the most divine lemon you have ever had. It's not as sour as a lemon, and, oh, You will have some, and I'm, of course, saving the peels because every little bit of the yuzu is delicious.
How do you spell yuzu?
Y-U-Z-U. Oh, and the closest thing you can actually get in Ames is at the Korean market. What's that one called? Out on Lincoln Way. Unimart. The Unimart has something Korean called, they call it citron tea, but it's really basically yuzu marmalade. And in that culture, the Korean culture, they melt it into hot water to make a beverage out of it. But I use it for all kinds of baking things to get my yuzu fix.
Yeah, that taste of intense lemon is really nice to put into things. Oh, yum.
Well, sushi restaurants, especially on the West Coast, it's often on something, the yuzu juice. It's very characteristic of Japanese food.
Ooh, well. Baking and shopping and traveling and music. Oh, I heard some lovely Christmas choral music this weekend.
Oh, good.
And untangled my Christmas lights. And it's season. Even though we don't have any white Christmas yet, it is the season. So today on the Donna Lana Kitchen, we're going to take a look back at some holiday traditions. Well, we already started doing this. We're
right.
Talking about food and holiday food. And we'll have some other folks join us, and we'll talk about, get some of their wit and wisdom about this.
Well, this is the thing about memory and childhood, and especially, you know, holidays, especially the Christmas holiday, is peak memory season. There are things in your memory banks that you go, I don't know why it's there, ridiculous things that happened, terrible foods, delicious foods, you know,
yeah,
it's all there, and it's concentrated around Christmas and childhood.
Yes. I went to the Ames Chamber Artists Choral Concert. Lovely singers. It's a huge group this year.
Was it Christmas carols?
It was Christmas carols.
Aww.
But actually a whole bunch of stuff. And they're really good. Their director is fantastic. And
where was it?
It was in the Collegiate Presbyterian
Church.
Choir didn't just like line up there and sing. They moved around. So they had small groups. And then sometimes some would retire to the balcony. So there was balcony and in front of you and up and down. And I must say, I don't remember who wrote this piece. It was a very fancy piece. But it was something about the arrival of the angel Gabriel announcing the good news to Mary.
Yeah.
And in other words, you're pregnant, girl. Okay.
Oh.
But it was a lot more subtle than that. But that bit of music had people in front of us, people on the sides, and then surprisingly,
stereophonic.
This huge, wonderful voice came from up over our shoulders, and it kind of gave you shivers, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
while we were in Minneapolis picking up my son, at the airport, we popped into the big basilica up there just at the time when they were doing a mass with special choral Christmas music. Oh, talk about acoustics. My goodness.
Oh,
it was
lovely.
Fabulous. Yeah.
I have driven past that and I've never popped.
Oh, just go in sometime. It has all pink marble floors all around that. And, you know, those beautiful ceilings with all kinds of quite crumbling things right now. But it was, I think they started construction, they said 1907 or something. And it took them 7 years before they had their first mass there. But we have our American cathedrals, so.
We do.
And we asked, because I said, what makes it a basilica? It's the Pope chooses which of the cathedrals he thinks are the most, one Pope or another, which he thinks are the most architecturally beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and designates them as basilicas, so.
Yeah, and they're kind of few and far between. Believe it or not, there's one in Dyersville, Iowa.
We have a basilica in Iowa?
As you're going east toward Dubuque.
The German Catholics. That's a big one? Oh.
Yes, surprisingly big, just small little communities around there. And it is, well, there's a sign, of course, a basilica of, I think it's the Xavier Basilica starts with.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, you know, we do, it's and like I the have, capital in Des Moines. Yep. We had people building things.
Yeah. People knew how to make
Italians
them,
were imported to do it, I believe.
And,
yeah.
And I have stopped in that one. That's lovely. That's lovely.
Yes.
Good. It's good.
All that churches and singing, it definitely is evocative, you know.
Oh, it is. And I like to sing, but I also like to hear people that really know what they're doing.
Now, did you go caroling as a child? We would, like in high school, maybe six or seven of us would get all, you know, buttoned up and go around. And it was just it wasn't organized. It was just it was socially organized, but it wasn't like a, you know, we just did it amongst ourselves. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no, we didn't do it as a child. It was, I think my mom would consider that impolite and proselytizing, that we shouldn't do that. But we did a whole lot.
We thought it was friendly and charming.
Yeah, right? It's like trick or treating.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did go to a Lutheran parochial school, so we sang all of the words to all of the songs.
Oh, yes, we know them by heart.
We know them by heart. This is good. Well, I'm going to stop in here a little bit here. We're going to get to some Christmas memories here, but I've got a couple of news items I would like to share.
Is it good news or bad news?
Oh, this is good news. This is good news. I had to have bummer news, but I'm just going to leave that alone.
Forget the bummer news
all
this
right.
week,
this,
okay?
This is,
good
this
cheer,
is,
holiday tidings,
all
you know.
Right.
Forget
all
about
right.
climate change. Oops, shouldn't have mentioned that.
Oh, you did. All right. But anyway, tick-a-dick, 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 tick-a-dick. That's the Donalana Kitchen ticker tape, and it brings you a news item here. You mentioned yuzu as having a lemon taste.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, in Iowa, there is going to be some production of limoncello.
Limoncello. Yeah,
limoncello?
Yeah. Yeah, that's you take Everclear, sugar, and lemons. Mix them up, squeeze them in some juice, put the peel and the whole thing in, and you let it kind of macerate and hang out for a while.
Ha!
Till it's all infused, and then you just strain it off.
Well, there's going to be a business. Somebody named Sid.
In case you don't want to make your own.
Right,
okay.
Right. She said most people make their own, but here you have. She has a business called Iowa Native Spirits.
Oh, from Iowa Lemons, right?
Iowa Lemons.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sarah Pistocilli and what is his name? And David.
Okay, that's an Italian
David,
name.
Yeah,
okay.
David Farrell. She wants to make it.
Okay.
And another person involved in this is a past guest on our show, Alessandro Andreoni, who used to have the Plus 39 Italian restaurant.
Oh, they used to sell it at the restaurant, uh-huh, and it was good.
So
okay,
anyway.
All right, we'll buy it.
Limoncello.
Right out of Iowa Lemons. Fabulous. Yeah.
Iowa Lemons. Okay, and here's another hot holiday news item for your holiday imbibing. In case you somehow wanted a cocktail that tastes like a cheesy snack, there's a liquor made just for you. Doritos has teamed up with Empirical.
Oh, how Christmassy.
Business to create a booze that tastes just like nacho cheese Doritos, the nacho cheese spirit. So, limited editions.
Okay, I'm not having that for Christmas. Okay, yeah, exactly.
There it is. But,
right.
But there we have it. So, you can get it online if you are so inclined. But, you know, people kind of go. It's pretty pricey. I won't mention the price here, but it's beyond my pay scale.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, that would bring us to eggnog. Mike was going to talk about eggnog.
Yes, our engineer, Mike Murphy, has
Mike
some
Murphy,
words of wisdom.
Eggnog is one thing that I have to feel I have to.
Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, in order to taste Christmas.
Okay, does that mean people are making eggnog lattes? Is this like the pumpkin pie spice thing? Have we?
Well, I told you earlier I had eggnog gelato
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's not too far off base. I actually bought some eggnog, you know, straight off the shelf, the Kelowna one, because I like the flavor. And I just added gelatin and made little panna cottas out of it. And it worked. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah,
it's great. Do you know how to make your own eggnog, Mike?
I seem to remember making it as a child, but it's been, I mean, we're talking, you know, not this century.
Yeah, okay, it's really simple. You need good eggs, you know, like Lana's eggs, which I will eat raw. You know, some people won't eat a raw egg anymore, and I'm not sure I would just eat a normal grocery store egg raw. But in the blender, you put a little milk or cream, depending on how rich you want it. An egg, a raw egg, some sugar, and nutmeg. You can add vanilla if you want to also, but nutmeg is the critical ingredient.
I seem to remember using paprika.
Paprika?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, see.
Yeah.
Those people from New York, you never know what they're going to do to these classics.
Well, you could try the eggnog with paprika, but I don't recommend the New York picante sauce.
Maybe you were a kid and you thought the nutmeg was paprika.
I don't think so.
Okay, you better
call.
You better call your mother or your sister and ask about that one.
Yeah,
right?
I'll ask my sister. Yeah.
Okay. So, nutmeg.
Very good.
Standard thing.
Well, so let's dig into another taste memory here. Joining us today is Mike Metz. He's on this very fine community radio station with a show called Science Bites, and he pipes up every now and then with some really helpful information. Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen.
Well, Mike. Thank you. I'm glad to be here, I think.
we'll see when we're done with you, right? So did you come with a childhood or food memory?
I have been thinking about a few things, but you mentioned only having Donna's. No, Lana's.
Lana's raw eggs.
Yes. That's what Everclear's for the other eggs.
Oh, if you put, okay, this is the scientific version, right? If you put a little Everclear into your eggnog, it kills all the salmonella?
I suppose it would. It's pretty much close to pure, mostly.
Okay, I suppose Everclear would work instead of rum or brandy or the classic.
Yeah, that wouldn't be eggnog without the rum.
Could you put rum and Everclear to make sure you kill off all the...
It's better than antibiotics, but we digress.
Okay, I don't know. That is the point of the show. This is valuable information from scientists.
I want to share one childhood memory that actually, as a youngster, I started thinking about it scientifically, and that is... Mom would decorate around the house little things, and there was an object that I would call the candle carousel. It could have been a mobile, something like that. But
is that the kind with the angels that goes around and goes ting, ting, ting?
Right, and it's the hot air coming up off. And so I thought, gosh, I wonder what you could rise with that. And we tied little napkin above that, and if we didn't hold it too close where it got caught
to the flames,
it would lift the napkins up. And we'd try them with a little holiday napkins that had the holly and, you know, the mistletoe and things, those little designs. Anyway, that was one.
Were the adults in the room
after they could start smelling napkins on fire. But that was probably one fun childhood memory. I mean, there are loads of them. I'm like Mike. I'm from the two centuries ago now, and so there's plenty of memories. But
yeah, it's wonderful. Lighting things on fire for Christmas. What a good idea.
Well, that's what the Yule log's all about.
That's true.
We've got to consider 2 days, and the daylight will be getting longer.
We will like that a lot, I think. Although, this is the time of year to just kind of slow down. I have been experiencing winter chickens. They know that the light is leaving.
Yeah.
They're just kind of not laying very much.
They're not giving you the eggnog eggs?
Oh, no, there's some.
Enough for eggnog.
There's some. But there's, you know, things you have to do for chickens this time of year. Their water will freeze if you don't get out there and plug in the water.
Not this year.
Well, yeah, it gets below freezing.
Just a little cat ice on the surface.
Yeah. And also this time of year, You have to watch it, because as it gets cooler outside, other creatures seem to like to go and spend the night in the chicken house. I went there one morning, and the chickens were all kind of looking in one corner of the chicken house, and I looked in one of the nest boxes, and there was a possum looking at me.
Oh, they're out and about now, yeah.
Okay, now there's two options. Well, there's probably more options. I could have, run and got my
gloves, big gloves.
Well, I could have got a 22 or some sort of bang bang, and I could have blown apart
that,
my.
It hardly seems like your style.
No, it's not. Although I have, a rather large unfriendly raccoon. They're pretty nasty, but this little fella was not one of your big ones. You could tell it was cute. So gloves, thank you. Large gloves, and I just kind of went in and grabbed its tail and really truly
held him upside. Did he hiss?
They possum. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just kind of walked him out to the woods and spoke to him sharply. He has not been back yet, so it's good.
There's a fun fact about possums, and that is their dental structure. They have the most teeth of those types of critters. So that's why they always look like they're grinning at you.
Really? I wondered. The most teeth? I can imagine. All they are is a snout with teeth. I'll look it up. See, important
things. Do they bite?
If cornered, I suppose. But usually they do the possum thing. I mean, our pup at home kills our possum every night. Day after day.
Oh.
So I go out, just leave him alone, and then it walks off.
What was that word you used for the ice? Cat ice?
Cat ice. That's thin enough, it won't hold us, but thick enough, a cat can walk across it.
See? And I'm sure that's an official...
Is this a scientific definition? Oh. Or this is Iowa definition?
Midwest.
Yeah.
We'll have to, ice fishers
refer
to that sometimes.
Okay.
Or duck hunters.
Okay.
Or Sam Wormley. My cohort in crime.
He would.
Cat ice. That's a good one to know.
Yeah. Oh, not enough ice on lakes around here to ice fish.
No cat ice yet.
Just on the edges.
Yeah.
Oh.
Any self-respecting cat will not go out on me.
Well, why don't I take a little break here, remind folks who you're listening to, and we'll come back for lots more food memories and fun stuff. This is KHOI, and this is the Donalana Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking holiday food memories, holiday stories. A little bit of the nutcracker there. And nuts are a big thing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's true. It's the only time of year you get bags of the mixed nuts, including the Brazil nuts, right? Uh-huh. And Mom would always get out the nut cracking set. That was a Christmas thing for sure.
Yeah. You kind of hang around all the big guys that know how to crack nuts.
Your husband Joe has a new nutcracker. How's that going?
Oh, he's... If you want to keep a husband out of trouble, buy him a new nutcracker, a big kind of put on
a manly nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. It just keeps him busy for hours. It's just great.
That's like the whole thing of, you put the baby in the high chair and you put honey on both his fingers and get a feather. And
May I interject here? You were saying putting it on the wall so he must only be able to crack the walnuts?
No. That's why we have Mike Betts here. Very good. And I want to ask you, Mike, long ago, we've been doing this radio show for a long time, Donna. One of the very first years, I went around the station and I asked people, what do the holidays taste like? And people would say, oh, I don't have anything. But like you were saying, memories come at you.
Oh, yes,
you
start remembering. Oh,
and,
yeah.
So I want to ask you, Mike, mm-hmm. What do the holidays taste like for you?
Oh, I've got three things. The main course would be my grandmother on my dad's side always cooked, along with the turkey, a goose. And she just, that reminded her of growing up on their farm.
Absolutely.
In northeastern Wisconsin, and that was a big thing. And the taste for me on the geese and the turkey that have been presented to us, I really hated it when wings became popular because I would always go for wings. And they were crunchy, they were well done, nice crisp glaze on them and things like that. So that's one taste. Then you go to the dessert. Ooh. Cookies, we'd cut out a lot of cookies, the kids, and we'd decorate them. And I just kind of like that sweet cream cheesy frosting, real thin on it. And then the two little red hot mints that you'd put if you had a Santa Claus or a snowman or something.
I kind of like those too.
Yeah, and I did like the little molasses cookies, and that's another story.
Very
which would
German,
take the rest of the half hours. We won't. The last thing would be the cordial, and kids got to have a grasshopper without any alcohol, and that's essentially
ice cream with.
A little bit of cream de menthe was the primary constituents for the kids.
Ooh. Yeah, the idea of having a little, everyone sits down to a meal, and now my folks were not wine people, but if you had a nice meal, you got the wine glasses out and you poured out the Mulligan David, and the kids would get a little shot glass kind of half full. So, it was...
I can't picture your folks as whiners. They would, be jolly.
They are jolly. we're more beer people,
right.
I'm Wisconsin too, so I'm with you right there.
I want to go back to this goose thing because I think it's really. I don't even as much as I keep my eye on all kinds of farming and food systems here in Iowa, I don't even know if I could get a goose anymore.
There are some small flocks that folks specifically are raising.
Is it like getting a heritage turkey?
I suppose. I haven't pursued I haven't been in pursuit of the wild. Well, I've been in pursuit of the wild goose, but not the domestic goose.
Can you eat the wild geese?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure.
Oh, really?
That's what I've had.
Well, we got plenty of those.
We can
bring back this goose. Because, of course, I grew up eating turkey, but my father's, like your family, of course, back on the farm, everybody had a flock of geese, especially for the, remember, Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, won't you please put a penny in the old man? Goose and Christmas used to be quite a thing. One year, I did find a goose and made it for my father. He was, overjoyed.
We had a goose on one of my aunt and uncle's farms, and they fixed it. And boy, were the kids glad because during the summer, that would always try to chase us around.
Oh, yeah. A goose can, they can
they be. They're very good watch animals.
And they can be nasty. They can be difficult with children, particularly.
But unfortunately, if you're a kid, The goose is usually pretty big. For an adult, okay.
Not as big as a turkey.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a neighbor goose that adopted me one summer. The rest of them got offed by the fox, I believe, and so the goose came down to our house to live. I didn't want this. I would be gardening, and this goose would stick its head under come at me from the back and put its head under my arm, and it would be scratched. So,
Lana, maybe you should get a goose or two to live with your chickens.
Out of those
That's
coops.
True.
It might.
Next spring, I'll buy some geese for you.
Oh, that'll be fun. That's all I need. Something else. But I like goose for Christmas. I think it's a fun thing.
They are delicious.
Yes.
They're like not as fatty as a duck. I don't know. How would you describe the flavor, Mike?
Well, wild versus domestic. Wild are they're a darker meat compared to a domestic animal because they've got a lot of myoglobin because they're pumping away flying around.
Are they tough?
No. That's similar to how you would prepare. It depends on how it's prepared. I mean, you can make them as tough as shoe leather or as supple,
so
juicy.
So you could give them a braise so they'd have more liquid in it.
Yeah.
So does a wild goose have like a wild flavor?
There's a wild flavor to a wild goose, and it kind of depends on what body of water they've been hanging around lately.
Oh, of
you
course.
Know? It'd be like some of the local fish. It kind of picks up the flavor of the locale.
Well, but is this a Canadian goose?
So well, it's only Canadian if it came from Canada, eh?
Yeah.
It is a Canada goose.
A Canada goose.
And there
goose.
Are subspecies of those. But Canada goose, there are, which I think are more flavorful than the snow geese that we see often on the west side of the state. They do migrate through. Yeah. But they're a little
tastier.
Aren't
there some that stay here?
We have local, as long as they're is open water for them. They need water to help in their digestion. But we have so many grain fields around here. It's actually all the grain we have kept those animals from having to migrate. With this kind of weather, and we've got that nice Ada Hayden property that they can keep open, plus the...
Do they keep some water open out there for the geese?
Oh, the geese actually keep it open, except in the really cold portion. They have a hard time, but south of town, there's another quarry, and that's got open water. And then there's also a quarry over the old tile factory over east of us in Nevada. That will stay open for quite a while.
Okay, so do the geese, can they break through the cat ice?
I think they can.
With their beaks, maybe.
No, just if they land on it right, just get a little opening, then they'll... As the bodies are in there, they'll in their motion and activity, they'll keep it open. But if they can't move fast enough or if they leave to go out and feed, it's going to freeze smaller. So, and they don't have an ice goose.
They get their feet frozen in the water at night?
Only if they're injured, I would say.
Okay. I now have a new thing. I'm going to get somebody to get me. I got to try the Canada goose. I got to eat one.
Yeah.
Find yourself. You know somehow.
If I find one and cook it, there'll be a report on the radio.
All right, good. Well, thinking of ice and geese, and I have some snow memories. Snows used to be kind of like big and heavy. You were mentioning last year we had a pretty
big
snow.
We did. We had a snow just before Christmas last year.
I remember, well, of course, I was a lot shorter then, but I was from the age... Before these nice little weather Gore-Tex kids snowsuits. I mean, I remember being just absolutely soaking wet and stuffed full of snow in a woolen snowsuit, so you couldn't really move. You were kind of wrapped.
Bundled completely.
Bundled, and you had the scarf around
multiple
you
pairs of corduroy pants on, and yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. It was lovely. And I seem to remember, I grew up in Wisconsin. And I seem to remember the year of 1957. I was, let's just say, quite young at that time, but I was alive and kicking and out there kind of playing around in the snow. That was an unusually huge bunch of snow because I remember my uncle, who was a dairy farmer, had to bring his cans of milk into the dairy with horses because the snow was over top of the fences.
Ooh.
So they just kind of, he lived about 4 or 5 miles out of town, and he brought him in, and he brought his neighbors in, and they ended up by our front door because actually we were about 3 blocks from the local dairy on the south side of the small town I grew up in. And the pleasure, and of course because it was winter, those horses had sleigh bells on, of course. And
did he have a sleigh?
He had a sleigh.
I mean, when you see sometimes
it was a working. I mean, not like Santa Claus sleigh. This was like a box that you do farm things
that,
in.
That had big runners. Yeah. I mean, when you see those, every once in a while you'll see somebody who still has one, and you can't imagine how much snow it would take to be able to pull something that big over. We just don't get that kind of snow anymore.
Well, we might. You never know.
Yeah, right. That's true.
I want to share a poem here because I don't know how you guys learned to put on your mittens when you were little, but I remember my folks as they were dressing me and putting layers on and wrapping me up. This is what they'd say when my mittens went on. The Mitten Song. Thumbs in the thumb place, fingers all together. This is the song we sing in mitten weather. When it's cold, it doesn't matter whether mittens are wool or made of finest leather. This is the song we sing in mitten weather. Thumbs in the thumb place, fingers all together.
Did you have to have dummy strings on your mittens?
Yeah.
Yeah, you too, Mike.
Me too. Yeah.
And that's actually written by somebody. My folks didn't make this up. It's by a poet named Marie Louise Allen.
Maybe we have to say what dummy strings are. So it's a thing. So you string the mittens through the sleeves so the children don't drop a mitten somewhere. So even if the mitten comes off, it's hanging there.
And that was really handy when you had those at school,
mm-hmm.
because then your mittens were with your coat.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that wet wool. And it's a little known fact that wool is a natural fiber, and it is one that you can stay warm in even when wet.
Here, it must have worked, because I remember being out a whole lot.
Yeah, we had the same kind of thing. You know, some people may know what galoshes are, or the four-buckle boots, or the things like that, but you'd get snow inside those, you'd get your socks wet. You'd still be out sledding and doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Be playing duck, duck, goose in the circle.
That's right. Making snow angels. Okay, I don't think it's legal to do this anymore, but we used to, when flying saucers were first year, I can remember during my childhood, to get those saucer sleds, which they still have, but my uncle used to tie them on behind the pickup truck and pull us around. I can't imagine anything more dangerous, but oh God, it was fun.
It was probably pre-OSHA, right?
I don't know. Did you do that in your family too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now,
and then
okay.
In the summertime, we do it behind the boats. It was just hard. It was hard for the guys in the boat to paddle that fast.
Well, that was called water skiing or something, right?
Oh goodness! Oh goodness! Mike Murphy, do you have some snow memories? Snow a good thing, snow a bad thing?
Well, of course, I think this is natural. Like most people, when I look back at the snow of my youth, it was way more than now. But is that the same phenomenon as when you go back to your old classroom and everything looks so small? And you know, would it not really be? Or did we get a lot more snow back then? But I do have a question along those lines. We're talking about snow with regard to the holidays. Did people ask, do you think we'll have a white Christmas before the song existed, and that's why the song was written? Or do people ask that because of the song?
Wow, I have a theory. It's kind of that same thing that around here, Midwest, tornadoes are a big thing. And you always hear them described as freight trains. How were they described before freight trains? I think it's that same thinking.
See? Oh, boy. Language and memory. That
or if we're talking food, the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Which is also white.
Sure.
Yeah, the idea of all of these Christmas carols that we have, White Christmas among them, I mean, everybody can get a little teary-eyed and schmaltzy about Christmas carols. I think they're wonderful. I'm awful glad they don't go on all year, but but it's good. I love to put on a CD or something on the radio and just hear it. It's fun. It's fun to hear all that good stuff again and again. That's good.
Well, the food thing that we always... Okay, my worst Christmas memory is... So, my father had a thing about oysters, you know, shucked oysters. You can still buy them in the store here. And I kept thinking, why? He grew up in Western Illinois. Why were they eating oysters, you know, in the 1930s or something? Apparently, trainloads of oysters were brought in from the East Coast, and they grew up having oysters. So my mother had a, she has a terrible recipe. You take saltine crackers, you crunch them up, you mix in the raw oysters, and you pour on some half and half or cream, and then you dot it with butter and roast it and cook the whole casserole in the oven. It would not have been Christmas. My father would have complained if we didn't have it. I never liked it. I still don't like it. What a thing.
You know, I think it's just the East Coast folks that were getting back to us in the 30s for sending out all the wild ducks we would shoot and send in barrels back to the East.
So they'd take the same barrels and fill them up with oysters, shucked oysters, and send them back.
Yeah, we forget things were shipped in and they were a big deal for Christmas.
Right. Yeah, well, it wasn't air freight.
A really big thing as a kid was getting a grapefruit and an orange.
Yes, a big thing. Yet that was.
Well, my mother would always put an orange in the bottom of our sock, and my sisters and I were like, oh, you know, big deal. But my mother would say to have an orange for Christmas when she was a child, so she was born in 1911, it was a big deal. They didn't have any of those Iowa lemons in those days, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't born in 1911. But
no.
It was a big deal in the 50s.
Really? Even in the 50s?
Yeah, that's good. Well, I want to remind folks that this is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. For more information, go to www.khoifm.org. Find out more about us. Welcome back. We're talking about food for the holidays. And once you start thinking about it, there are a lot of memories that happen back there. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. We lived in town. It wouldn't be Christmas if the lady next door on Christmas... Well, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning would deliver. She baked stolen for the whole blasted community, pretty much. And And I don't know where she got the time, because it was this gorgeous thing. And is stolen a yeast-raised pastry? I don't remember.
I think so. It's particularly German, and it always has fruit in it.
A lot of fruit.
And they're not terribly sweet.
No, it's kind of like a coffee cake, but it has fruit in it.
But more log-shaped, right?
Yep.
It's not round.
This was her trick. Marion always took this thing, and it was a log, but she always bent it around.
Oh, yeah, in a crescent shape. Yeah.
And it's striped.
Very artfully done. So that was her way of modestly showing her talent set to everybody. That's wonderful.
It was so good. And, you learn things as a kid. You know, these traditions are happening, and you're taking notes, and I often wondered why it was called stolen. I thought, well, Marion wouldn't steal anything. I mean, she's a sweet woman. But I realized that there's an umlaut above the O, stolen. But
yeah, stolen.
Stolen. Yeah. And it isn't about pilfering anything. But that's a good Christmas memory. I should get out a recipe book and make some of that.
We're old now, and we're talking about our memories as children, and I think it's good to remember, for wherever you have children in your family or your community, we are building the memory banks for them. And so I think it's important to, not make everything a plastic Christmas, but to really, have some homemade food and some maybe homemade Christmas presents, if you can do it, and things like that. Because the children of today, they'll be sitting around in another 50 years telling us about their Christmas memories. It's a time that it gets imprinted in the brain there.
I had a grandmother. when you first asked me to come on today, I felt like I was in a pickle. Well, I had a grandmother who had a glass pickle ornament. Part of a German thing.
Oh, it was in glass pickle.
It was a glass pickle that you would hang on the tree, and she'd hide it, and the kid who could find it, she'd had a little special treat, usually with some sweets or something like that. Well, found out that it was from her grandmother.
Ooh.
And one of my two sisters has it. I'm not sure. I hope it's...
The pickle didn't get broken.
That's the thing. But after the first year or two, she had to become very creative on how she hid it. One time she hollowed out a big pine cone that they'd picked up from the redwood forest and stuck it inside there. But I digress. The other great thing she did was she had this great molasses cookie recipe.
So now, did my grandmother.
They weren't just these
did
little...
Did they have white frosting on top?
No.
Okay.
These were just straight with just barely a little powdered sugar on them. But they weren't the little tea-size cookies. These things were dinner plate size. And I think I alluded to the point to you guys earlier that my dad's job took us all the way around the state. But we'd always go to my grandparents for Christmas. And so we were living in La Crosse at the time.
Uh-huh.
They were in the Green Bay area.
Oh.
And we had some of those cookies, and on the way home that night, my sisters, I found out, had more than one. Because back then it was 55 miles an hour on all of the state highways, and I think we made 5 or 6 stops. And don't tell them I told you that story, because they still get embarrassed when we bring that one up.
Ooh. I think everybody's German grandmothers made some kind of molasses cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't yours?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
we talked about pfeffernusse before.
Yeah, pfeffernusse.
That was always a good one. Yeah. That was always a good one. And one thing, now, Christmas food memories are not always things that everybody liked. But my uncle, the dairy farmer, and my dad liked, it was basically a steak tartare
how fancy!
Yeah, as
good for them.
It was for an appetizer.
So raw beef, ground beef. Yeah,
raw
and
beef.
What did they put?
And
with
lots of onion, chopped raw onions on top of it.
Mustard?
They had mustard on the side, but usually you just dipped in. You get those fancy little rye bread that is
the little round rye breads.
Extra dark rye.
Yeah,
that was
what we had.
And it took me a while. it looked so good when they ate it. And then I went up and looked at it, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And they use the, I don't know if it's German or Bohemian, the word Jahakas is what they called it.
Huh.
Jahakas. And I said, well, what is that? And I said, well, that's ground beef. Are you sure you can eat that? It's not even cooked. And my grandmother says, yes, you can, because that ground beef came from one of your uncle's dairy cows.
From a cow we knew.
And she had a good life, and that's why we're having it for Christmas. Now, see, not everybody.
And they ground it themselves, probably.
Not everybody likes that sort of thing, but that's a Christmas memory for me.
So, onions, just chopped raw onions on it, on the rye bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably salt and pepper.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mustard on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Pretty exotic there, eh?
Yeah.
Pretty healthy.
You know, you said something.
Yeah.
You asked, could that be eaten? Well, technically anything can be eaten, but will you survive?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And I hope we also. And one thing about the Christmas memories, especially with food memories. A long time ago on a show, Donna, you said you shouldn't belittle somebody for eating something. You should say, oh, that's awful. You had a phrase, don't
yuck on my yum.
Don't yuck on my yum. And that's...
And it's true. Like, one of my main associations with Christmas is black walnuts. As a child, I did not like black walnuts. My mother and all of her aunts from Southeast Missouri loved black walnuts. So they made divinity fudge, which is that white, sweet, eggy kind of thing, and it always had black walnuts on it. I would not touch it as a child, and now I love it.
And I like them as well, but I'd rather have them on the side, because I'd always tell Mom, don't put those in the ice cream or the cookies. It slows me down.
So as a kid, you liked black walnuts?
I had, you develop a taste for them.
It didn't hit me until I got older.
It's kind of like mushrooms, things like that.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it is. Anyway. I mean, now I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or well-aged cheese. There's some that I will not touch, but there are others I've acquired.
Okay. Did you guys grow up with Limburger cheese?
No.
My grandmother got one early, kept it in the pantry. I mean, I still don't eat it, but it was intense.
I don't either. My sister had some with my dad one time, and then she went into... I was away to college by then, and she... stayed in my room. The piano was located there, and she was in there playing. Between the Limburger cheese and the garlic sandwiches they had, when I came home, I had to find another room.
Ah, the holidays. Ah, yes. Don't we have good memories? Good and bad. Well, no, it's all part of our holiday memories. And do enjoy. And I don't know, this is maybe a prejudice of my own, but the idea of going to someone's house or putting out a spread of your own and then standing there and saying, oh, I'm not going to eat any of this. It's way too bad for me. I'm not going to have any sugar. I'm not going to, you know, unless you are extremely, really, truly medically cannot have that stuff. This is the time to be nice to yourself.
Blow it out now.
Go have a cookie or something.
Lots of cookies. Lots of fudge.
Be good.
Lots of eggnog.
Good.
Lots of Limburger cheese, right? If you're so inclined.
I was with you to that point.
Well, good. Thanks, everyone, for your holiday memory. We had Mike Metz here and Mike Murphy, and Don and Lana had a few things to share, too. Yes, we did.
Yes, we would encourage you to keep making those holiday memories, the sensory ones, especially the taste, and of course candles, right? Solstice candles, that's a night, it's lovely to have candlelight.
It is. Well, thank you to our listeners. Thank you for your support all year long. And Donna, tell them about our podcast.
Oh, right. This radio show is then turned into a podcast. So wherever you listen to podcasts, you can just go and find Donna Lana Kitchen. It's Donna Lana is one word, D-O-N-N-A-L-O-N-N-A. Second word, kitchen, and there we are.
So, happy holidays to everyone. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you every Tuesday here at KHOI Community Radio, and hint, hint, a KHOI membership would make a great
Excellent gift.
Excellent gift.
So, everybody needs one.
Good. May your holiday kitchen be full of love. We had music by the Barn Owl Band today, along with some Christmas music, this we did. My name is Lana Knockable.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Ho, ho, ho. We had
happy holidays.
Fine engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.